Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
God's broken heart for humanity. God's broken heart compelled by love for humanity. I believe this is just profound. Not just for a series as a church that we're in, but as a lifestyle, as being a Christian. This should be the very essence of who we are. The very understanding God's heart for humanity. It's so vital. And so I want to speak this morning kind of around this and some things I want to share into it. But before I start, I want to read out of the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 21. I'm going to read all the way through 32. Which for some of you is like your whole year's Bible reading, so that's good. I'm just teasing. That's just the pastoral stuff here. 21 through 32. And to be honest, it's a bit of a depressing passage of Scripture, but we'll read it and then we'll move on into hopefully some more exciting things. But this is what it says. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who forever is praised. Amen." Verse 26. "Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error." 28. "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them." Sometimes when you just read the Bible, it gives you great insight into humanity, into current pop culture, into the world that we're living in. Sometimes when you just read the Bible, you begin to see things that seemingly don't fit in this world system. And the reality of that is because we're not supposed to live according to the world system. We're meant to live according to the Word of God. When we become a Christian, we step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. There's these tensions rising around the world. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're living in pretty unprecedented times. We're living in a world that's hit a pandemic in so many different ways, but this is like a once-in-a-generation thing to happen. This just doesn't happen. This is almost equivalent to a world war of how much impact this season has had on the world. And because of the chaos, because of the stuff, you can see the enemy weaving and working in every different way to try and implement his strategies into a fractured society that's looking for answers, that's looking for hope, and there's manipulation. The world's basically just lost its mind. Like, you know, it says that God gave them over to a depraved mind, that they're just making up ways to do evil. Like, you know, can I say... be careful of people that have preference of protecting animals over babies. Like, you know, like, do you know there are fines for killing alligator eggs or something? It's an egg with a baby in it. Yet in the same breath, in the same thing, praise the killing of the unborn. Like, The world has lost its mind. Forget just basic godly morals. Like, put that aside if you even can for a minute. And there's been this thing that's crept in the world that makes people begin to even question, you know, well, you know, you're right. What about this? And things that in history would have been absolutely insane. Like, there are things that are amazing that we've progressed in human rights and all sorts of things. While progressing in one area, we're digressing in the other. We're going modern in one way, and yet in the other way, we're stepping back into the day of sacrificing babies to the god Molech, the spirit of the world. We live in this culture, this society that doesn't even get affected by it. And there are Christians who are like, yeah, but is it, they're like, how can we, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own thoughts, but we have to be people that aren't swayed by the wisdom of the world, but by the word of God. We live according to this, and the world is really going crazy. God's broken heart, this whole series, is that God's heart is broken for a broken humanity. God saw humanity in its shame, in its mess, in its pain, in its depravity, in its insanity, and he saw the world and said, I need to do something about it. Because, you know, the truth is, politics aren't the answer. Government leaders aren't the answer. Jesus is the answer. Sin is the problem. Jesus is the answer. And you and I are carriers of the person of Jesus. We're called for such a time as this to bring Christ into a broken world. You know, but there's something that's really important that I want to share. And it's this, there's been this concept for years, and I've been meditating on it lately, about how we've been so focused on reaching the world, which we know we're supposed to reach the world. Our mission statement as a church is to influence the world for good and for God. Like, our job's to reach the world. But do you know the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul? The very essence of Christianity is not reaching broken people. The essence of Christianity is being in an intimate relationship with the loving God. Because we're called to first love God. Humanity, yes, they're our mission, but if everything else fades away, it's to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in communion. God gave Jesus so that we could be in communion, in right relationship with him. The essence of Christianity is to know God, to be intimate with God. And the byproduct of being intimate with the creator of the world is that your heart will be so entwined with his heart, you won't be able to help but live a life that is compassionate for humanity, that wants to reach. Because when you get the answer, when you know, as a Christian, if you truly believe that Jesus is the way to salvation and on the other end of that is eternal damnation, then how can we sit back and not try and help somebody reach the answer whose name is Jesus? We have a responsibility. If you have true compassion in you, you're not just going to feel bad for a person. You're going to realize that Jesus is the answer and the world needs the answer. And so this morning, I want to sort of just quickly run through four thoughts, four actions of advancement for the gospel. Because the gospel is the answer. It doesn't matter how crazy you are. It doesn't matter how into politics you are or aren't. Jesus is still the answer. Sin is still the problem. Jesus is the answer. And the Bible tells us that the great mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery that's been hidden is Jesus living inside of you. You are the hope of the world. You probably heard the statement that says the church is the hope of the world. I believe a surrendered church is the hope of the world. A church surrendered to Jesus is the hope of the world. Not just a country club of a bunch of people that come and sing some karaoke songs on a Sunday. You know, we're not just a chaplaincy program. We're not just a feeding program. Keanu and I have done much work over in Africa with third world people. And can I tell you, it's really easy to feed a young person's belly and watch them go to hell. Now, when you know God, when you have a broken heart because you know God's heart, you want to feed the belly, but you know ultimately people need the Savior who is Jesus. We have to understand that this is what we're called to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's the simplest message, yet the most profound message in the whole Bible is that Jesus is still the answer to the world's problems. That doesn't mean everything's going to fix tomorrow. It means if we can get hearts united with Jesus, then we know that their eternity is secure and we can disciple and believe in one another to advance the gospel in the earth and take territory and move into all that God's called us to be. And so I want to go through real quickly four actions of advancement of the gospel, because the gospel is the answer. The gospel means good news. The good news is simple. It's that while we were still dead in our sin, Jesus died for us. It's the fact, the understanding that all of humanity is sinful, depraved. Every one of us, we're sinful, broken, messed up in ways we don't even know, but yet Jesus still loved us. The good news is that God saw us, his heart broke for humanity, and he gave us a solution whose name is Jesus. And no matter what we've done, no matter what we're going to do, no matter what we're doing, we don't have to get better to meet with him. We just get to surrender to him and he'll begin to transform our lives. The goal of Christianity is not to purge ourselves of all of our sin, shame, and mistakes so we can come to Jesus. The goal of Christianity is to come to Jesus so he can purge us of all of our sin, shame, and our mistakes. Come as you are, get ready to be transformed. Come as you are, get ready to be radically transformed. That is the gospel. And so the number one action for advancement today is this, is proclamation. Preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15 says, Jesus speaking says, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. To preach or proclaim means to publicly herald, to speak publicly. Jesus gave us a commission to preach the gospel. Now, you may not be someone who's ever going to preach from a platform, or maybe you are going to be someone who preaches from a platform. You might not be someone who's going to do crusades in Africa. You might not be someone who's going to put on a white suit and do some televangelist series on a TV. But we've all got a mouth. And Jesus has commissioned us to preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel. And so each one of you has a friend. Each one of us have a family member. Each one of us have a brother, a mother, a son, a boss, a coworker. Each one of us are able to publicly proclaim the good news, the reality of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. You know, there's a famous saint called Saint Francis of Assisi. He's an old monk, and he has a famous statement that says, preach the gospel at all times, using words when necessary. And I really love that statement. I love that quote, because I believe that there's a life that we need to live that represents the God that we say that we serve before we even open our mouths. However, that doesn't change the fact that the Lord Jesus commissioned us to proclaim, to publicly herald, to open our mouths and share the good news, because it's not just information, it's Holy Spirit inspired and infused revelation. Then the Bible says, how will they believe if we don't preach? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. How will they believe? How will they hear if we don't preach? We're called, all of us, to publicly proclaim the great good news of the gospel. But the thing is this, is that we live in a culture that doesn't always, especially in Christianity, doesn't want to talk about the bad news. Now, we like the bad news as long as it's on the news. Like, we like it on social. That's where we get out. Like, this is 60 Minutes. Guys, this is awesome. You don't watch that garbage. Let me tell you. You rot your mind. You watch that lady on 60 Minutes. She needs to get born again. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. I cannot judge her salvation. God definitely can. Sorry. But I'm serious. Like, humanity seems to love bad news. It's like, man, this is exciting. Like, this is, whoa, this is kind of, because it invokes something within us. But yet in Christianity, we never want to talk about, let's just keep it all safe. But the reality is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. We preach that constantly and appropriately, and we understand that to believe in Jesus, the gospel means we'll have eternal life with God forever. But in that same sentence is the bad news, that those who don't believe will perish. And this is the thing. The reason that we desire joy is because we know sorrow. We know pain. The reason we desire peace is because we know anxiety. We know chaos. You look at the world. Who wants a little bit of peace at the moment? It's getting a little bit better, but gosh, 2020 was a wild ride. And we know that this is what gives weight to the good news, the reality that people are dying and destined for destruction and going to hell. That's true. We can't change it. Doesn't matter what we want to say. If we believe the Bible, that's what it says. But the good news is that although people are destined for destruction, there's an answer. His name is Jesus. We don't serve an angry God in heaven who can't send Jesus to send people to hell. The Bible tells us in John 3:17 that those who don't believe are condemned already, which says that those people that don't believe are already on their way there. So a loving God in heaven sent Jesus to give people a way out. It's the grace of God. This is the gospel, that there's a way that leads to life and there's a way that leads to destruction. We have the ability to choose life in the person of Jesus. You see, the love of God is for everybody. But salvation's limited to those who believe. This is the gospel. Some people might reject the message. People rejected Jesus. We often think if we preach truth, people might not like what we have to say, and so we taper down the truth, and we think we can trick them. The truth is, eventually they're going to find out what you believe. And so we think if we taper down the reality of the truth, I mean, it's important how and when. I get that, but we can't hide from the truth, because the reality is Jesus has a standard of what it looks like to live for him. And we have to understand, you know, I have a statement that says this. It says, the Achilles heel of the modern day church is the insatiable desire to be accepted and loved by the world. And what happens when our desire is to be accepted by the world, we do everything we can to look like them, everything we can to be accepted by them, that they'd like what we have to say. Can I tell you, the spirit of the world is never going to like what the spirit of life has to say. Yeah. It's not going to happen. We can dumb it down all day, but if we want to deny the truth of Jesus, then go ahead. But for me, I'm not going to do it, because I know that true love is not looking to be accepted by someone else. True love lays down its life to love the world, not to be accepted by Jesus. Sitting there, and he says to the people, he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it says the crowd looked at him. And they're like, you're a crazy person. And they walked away. Jesus turns to his disciples. He says, what about you? And they're like, well, we left everything to follow you, so it's super awkward now. So I guess we'll stay. Basically what they said. We left everything behind, so what else? What have we got to lose? Well, Jesus is walking, and there's a demon-possessed man. He's been there in chains. Jesus comes in. He casts a demon out of this person. Man runs free, runs into his town, celebrating that he's set free, and the town goes, do not let Jesus in here. So Jesus delivered a man from a demon, and the town were like, we don't want that guy here. Yet we feel like in this modern era, if we say anything that disagrees with what the world says, then we're doing it wrong. Let us find a different way. We have to recognize there's a truth. His name is Jesus, and it's the truth that will set people free. There's a truth that we're to live by, even if the world doesn't like what we have to say. I was saying in the first service, my father-in-law says the best fashion is appropriate fashion. Like if you go to a wedding and you rock up in shorts and, what do we call them here? Thongs. I mean, so many different countries. Some countries it's inappropriate to say different words and all sorts of things. Slops in South Africa, it's slops. What a terrible word that is, slops. Flip-flops are good for me. But you wear shorts and thongs to a wedding, it's inappropriate, yet you go to the beach in a suit, then you're just an idiot. It's the same. We live in, we can sort of put our head in the sand and pretend nothing's going on in the world. But if we realize that the world's sort of going a bit wild, it may not be the nice highway ride we like in sixth gear right now. At this stage, we're at red lights, we're left, we're U-turn, we're doing whatever we can just to keep our head above water to reach the next person. We need to live in the season that we're in. And we're in a season where we're going to have to hunker down and realize there's a truth that needs to be preached. And Jesus is our firm foundation. And I don't live to be accepted by the world. I live to love the world, lay down my life that they may make Him, the one who saved me, the one who saved you. We're called by God for such a time as this to proclaim the gospel. Spent all my time on point one. The second one is this. Multiplication. It's discipleship. I've done a lot of work in the nations, and the truth is, if you really want to get people to raise their hand in a message, you can say the right things to get some salvation hands in the air. Who's hungry? All right, see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand. But the truth is, we're not just called to make decisions for Christ, we're called to make disciples. Jesus says to them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've commanded you. We believe in multiplying as a church. We believe in growing as a church because we want to see people receive Christ, but we want people discipled into the things of Christ. Half the problems in the church these days is that we get a lot of hands in the air, no discipleship, so people don't know the word of God, so listen to the word of the world, and then they're confused that it's not working. Discipleship is super simple. Discipleship is you teaching somebody else what God has taught you. And the best way to teach someone what God has taught you is to go and learn something from God so you can teach them what He taught you. Start a small a life group. Then you'll have to learn how to hear from God to teach the people. It's just like, it's all rat, rat. Oh no, I'm going to teach them. Quick, learn something. We're called to make disciples, to multiply, that 10 would become 20, 20 would become 40. We're not just building mega church for no reason to look good and have property. We're multiplying the family of God because we're called to. You know, God's not just looking for powerful meetings. He's looking for a powerful movement because meetings are momentary, but a movement can be revolutionary. We're called to be the people of God, to expand, to move forward, to make disciples. If you're not in a life group, get in a life group. If you've been thinking about starting a life group, start a flopping life group. Stop thinking about it. Like, what do I do? Just have some food. Someone will teach you how to do it. But we're called to make disciples. Church growth starts with evangelism, but it's sustained through discipleship. People's life is transformed through meeting Jesus and learning to live like Jesus. Not just an emotional response on a Sunday from someone who's really good at, oh, get saved. Number three is demonstration. Matthew 10, 7 says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand or has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. Live a life that represents the God that you say that you serve. Don't just be somebody who talks. Don't be just somebody who says I'm this and that. Are you living a life that treats people like Jesus would have treated them? Are you living a life that heals people like Jesus would have healed them? Did you know you've been infused with the same life-giving spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, which means you carry dead-raising power? Keanu, my friend here, he's been doing ministry with me for 7 to 8 years. He's been in Africa with me. He just tried to move to America. Had to leave, so he went down to Mexico just for fun, met some people, met a church there, he's preaching the gospel. Did you know he's been there and he thought, you know what, I'm going to seek out some people who have COVID who need healing. It seems like the craziest thing you could do right now. Do not, I think COVID people kind of like lepers, leper patients at the moment. But yet he laid his hand, actively sought out people who had coronavirus to pray for them and put their hands on them and believe God to heal them. And he saw multiple people healed with instant signs of healing straight away. Now, some precautionary statements. Got a COVID test before he left Mexico. Did quarantine for 14 days. Got another COVID test before he left. He's still good. Okay, so no one need be concerned. There's no government officials in here trying to get us in trouble. He's clean. But we believe, guys, we have to believe that we serve a surpass the laws of gravity just with singing it in worship. He parted the sea, for goodness sake. Did you know in the book of Joshua, he stopped the sun? Get your head around that for a minute. Whoa, that's like you can't even. He raised the dead, he cleansed the lepers, and he put his spirit inside of us that we would be a people, that we serve a God of signs and wonders. We believe in a God who heals the sick, who can heal a virus, who can heal diabetes, who can heal cancer. We serve a God. Would you live a life that represents the God that we say that we serve? Proclamation, multiplication, demonstration. I'll finish with this. Domination. Dun, dun, dun. Keanu listens to epic battle music while studying scripture. Is that right? Epic battle music's like, dun, 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 dun. There's like big like chorus sounds. It's very like strange, but that's what I think of when I think domination, like war music. Matthew 16, verses 18 says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Did you know Jesus said this to Peter? He said, Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. I'm going to tell you quickly, Peter is not the rock in which Jesus is building his church. The rock that we're building the church on is the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Peter, on this revelation of me, Christ crucified, I will build my church. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I tell you, we are called to take territory. It's the dominion of God. In the garden, in the beginning, he said, go out and multiply, subdue the earth. He said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. Can I tell you, we are what's called a proselytizing faith, which means we have a serious agenda, and that's to take more territory and win more souls. Like when someone meets us, I love them, but I have a huge agenda with my love. I feel like love has no agenda. Yes, it does. To lay down its life that they might know him. We have an agenda. We're called to take territory. And you know, the book of Joshua says, where the soles of my feet tread, your feet tread, I've given you this land, says the Lord. I take that stuff. When I walk in countries, I believe that I'm taking territory for the Lord because I'm a vessel of glory. I'm a vessel of honor. I'm a vessel of Jesus. Yeah. I believe that I carry his power and his authority. And the truth is, I'm not a special person with a special spirit. We all get the same spirit, the same authority, the same power because we've surrendered to him. The hope for humanity, the answer to the world, is a spirit-filled believer that's not sitting back on their couch watching TBN, but it's a spirit-filled believer that believes that we are called for such a time as this to take dominion in all the earth. It's a kingdom. That means the king's domain. And we're called to advance his kingdom. This passage of scripture, I love it. It says that Peter, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. You know, I believe he wants to build his church numerically. I believe he wants to build his church foundationally. I think he wants to build his church in doctrine. I think he wants to build his church in power, build his church in authority so that we continue to expand. On this revelation, I will build my church. That's you and me. Not the steeple, we know that. Everyone at the beginning of COVID, all the churches want to get back together. Don't you know that the church isn't a building? Yes. We're well aware church is not a building. We just like to gather. Back off. You're just about the money. You're in. We really, though, we are the church. This is just where we gather. We're a global church. We're City Point Church. We're a local expression of God's church. We're all together. Which means even if you don't like the other guy, he's part of the family, so be nice. But it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, for so long, I've always been like, yeah, you know, hell can throw all its hordes at us. I know I'm called by God to destroy the works of the devil, to crush Satan under my feet. Man, I'm like, yeah, bring it on, hell. Let's do this. Which is like not a bad picture. And then I was reading it over this season and I was meditating and I began to realize it says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I realized that we're not the ones hiding behind the gate. Hell's hiding behind its gate. It's got its territories. There's gates. And the kingdom of God, the church of Christ, is going to advance. And the gates of hell will not be able to stop this forceful advancement of the church of Jesus Christ. We're called to take to every university that we put our feet in through Young Adults or Red Frogs. We're taking territory back. Every church that we plant, we're taking territory back. Every building that we buy that we're moving into in 3 weeks is new territory for the kingdom of God. And we don't lose this one because another church is going to jump in here, keep doing what we've been doing. We're just moving forward. We're never going to stop because we're called for God by God for such a time as this to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to demonstrate his kingdom, and to dominate this earth with the goodness and the glory of God. And we will not sit back. We won't be shy. We can't be passive, because right now the world needs us more than ever before. Because we're living in the last days. The prophet Joel says, in these last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The truth is, the last days began when the spirit fell on the church, and he's waiting. The Bible says that God is patient. He's not on time. He's waiting. He's waiting because a day is like 1,000 to the Lord and 1,000 like 1 day to the Lord. He's waiting to save as many souls as he can, to make as many disciples as he can. And we are called to continue to advance. I'll pray that that building over there we just bought is too small in a year. That's a real logistical problem. But it's worth it, and we'd buy another one. And we'll buy another one. That's why we raise money to advance the kingdom of God. We are called, you and I, together in this. It's not time, guys, to sit back. Well, the radical spirit of liberalism is professing its faith all over the joint, silencing our mouths in the name of political correctness. I don't give in to political correctness. I live in biblical correctness, in the love of God. My compassion for humanity is not based on just feeling bad for them. It's laying down my life that they might know him, even if it costs me my life. Sympathy looks at someone drowning and says, I'm so sorry. I can't believe people are saying that you're drowning. Compassion looks at them drowning and says, I'm jumping in that water and I'm getting you out however I can, even if it means me going down. This is our time. You think moving to a new building is just something we're doing. Guys, this is a divine moment, a divine appointment. It's going to be a home for the homeless. It's going to be a place of healing for the broken. It's going to be a place where disciples are made, where the gospel is preached. It's going to be a light to the world, a city on a hill. Can I tell you, that church is going to be something so significant for this region. You might not see it, but blessed are those who believe and yet do not see. Something's happening. You're a part of it. Get excited. Get involved. Get behind what God is doing in this season, because we are called to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though deep darkness may cover the earth, I will arise over you, says the Lord. Gets darker, but we shine brighter. Looks hopeless, but we keep hopeful. It's what we're called to do. Amazing we get to be a part of it. We're a little bit over time, but it's amazing we get to be a part of it. Just close your eyes for a second. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to wash over this place now. Wash over this place. I just want to ask, if you're in this room this morning and you don't know the hope of the world, Jesus. I said it earlier in the message. The Bible tells us that that God so loved the world that whoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're in this room and you believe Jesus, then you got eternal life. If you're in this room and you don't believe in Jesus, meaning you've surrendered your life to him, look, guys, it's not enough just to believe that he's real. The Bible says even the demons believe that he's real, but they fear and they tremble. If you're in this room and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the unfortunate reality is that there's hell, destruction, and damnation waiting for you. But that's not God's desire. The Bible also says that he desires that not one would perish and that all would be saved. We understand that joy is amazing because we know sorrow. Can I tell you, we understand that salvation's amazing because we know there's destruction. Today, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, meaning you've never given your life to him, friend, On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and wave at me to make an acknowledgement that today you want to change that. If you're in this room and you say, Joel, I've given my life to Jesus, but I'm not walking with him. I'm not living with him. Even that passage of scripture you read in Romans in the beginning, I'm living that kind of lifestyle. I know God, but I know I'm not right with God. Don't live there. Turn around. Come back to Jesus. He's not angry, not mad. He's waiting there with open arms saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Your destiny awaits. And you're in this room, you say, Joel, I don't know if I know Jesus. Well, you need to be sure, friend. I don't want to make anybody insecure in their salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. But if you say, Joel, I don't know, then today, friend, let's get sure. Let's put a line in the sand. No one can talk me out of my salvation. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm surrendered. Would that be you today? So on the count of three, if you're any one of those group of people, I just want you to raise your hand up and acknowledge before me and before God that today something's changing. So if that's you, don't miss this moment. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. The person to your left can't save you. The person to your right can't save you. The person in front of you can't save you. Only Jesus can. So if that's you, on the count of three, raise your hand up high. One, two, three. Raise it up high this morning. Is there anyone this morning? Just wait five more seconds. Five, four, three. Great decision, sir. Well done. Anybody else? Two more seconds today. Don't miss it. Two. One. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for that gentleman that raised his hand up. That Holy Spirit, you would come now and begin to convince him of his new life in you. For whatever reason that hand went in the air, God, that today something's changing. Something's changing in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill him. Overwhelm him. Today in the name of Jesus. Maybe you didn't put your hand up, or maybe you did. The hand in the air is not what saves you. It's your heart believing in Jesus and your mouth confessing unto salvation. Behind me, there's on the screen here, it says things. It says, firstly, you need to tell somebody. If you put your hand up for that gentleman, you need to tell somebody. If you didn't put your hand up but you wanted to, tell somebody. Keep coming to church. Talk to that person who you told about how to pray more. Talk to that person who you told about how to read the Bible more. Let's do this journey together. Do not miss these moments. Connect with people. God has a destiny and a purpose for your life and for the rest of us. Go well. Go in the Spirit. Don't take these next 3 weeks as just something we're doing. I'm just going to take 30 more seconds. Do not take what's happening lightly. This is a significant shift in the future and destiny of this church. This is not just a building move. This is a stepping into a destiny. It's leaving behind a great legacy to step into all that God has called us for as a church. Don't sit back. Realize what's happening. Pray into this move. Sow into this move. Serve into this move. This will be a moment that we will remember forever. The transition is going to break open something supernatural over this church in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for having me.